I'm Rachel Laycock, a market tech principal in the New York office at ThoughtWorks.
I'm Jeff Norris. I am out of our San Francisco office, and I'm a tech principal in one of our projects.
And Jeff and I are going to talk about growing technologists.
Yeah.
So how do I grow a technologist? I guess a lot of water.
Yes, lots of water. On our projects, it seems to be more beer, but whatever.
Beer is mostly water, I heard.
Now, growing technologists is really all about giving people the opportunity to do the things that they're already good at. It's about figuring out intentional spots where they can do things that stretch themselves, but not stretch themselves too hard. It's that key sense of making sure that they've got an opportunity to do something that is actually really hard for them, but at the same time, there's enough of a safety net so that if they do mess up, it's not going to be a catastrophic problem.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the ways that I do that is try and make it really visible to the people on my team, especially some of the more senior technologists, of what are all the things that I'm working on outside of the everyday coding that everyone is up to. And then trying to understand, you know, what are their goals? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? Where are they trying to grow? Where do I need them to grow? Because I have other commitments, so I can't necessarily be on the ground all the time. And so it may be that they're particularly interested in something along DevOps, for example. On my last project, everyone was trying to understand, you know, Puppet, and because they'd previously had experience in Chef. And so I essentially kind of left them to deal with that card as a tech lead card and said, hey, like, go and figure out how we're going to solve some of the problems that they've got with the current Puppet infrastructure. And they did a lot of the research and like came back to me with, you know, what their ideas that we're coming up with. And I was just basically a guide of like a guide rail of like, here's how to stay within the lines and here's some good ideas and here's some crazy ideas. And so that's one way that I've approached that.
Yeah, I think a key part of that, what you just said, is the giving them space. It's about getting far enough out of the way so that the person has time to figure it out on their own, enough room to make the mistakes and notice it's a mistake and correct it before anyone else is involved. It gives them the chance to really show autonomy on it. Mm-hmm. And those are the experiences that tend to stick. If I set up a perfect environment for someone and they execute flawlessly in that environment, they're not going to remember anything from it. You have to actually have a little bit of a challenge and do something. And once you actually figure it out yourself, that's when you really learn from it.
I was just thinking about it because sometimes I have the impression that people learn the best from people who learn with them. Is that also something you would agree with? And how could you foster that?
You mean joint learning, like they're doing it together?
Like teaching works best when I just learn something rather than when I know it for 20 years.
I think there's some element of truth to that because I find it easier to teach people the skills that are required to be a technical lead versus the skills that are required to just be a developer on the team straight out of university. I did actually recently try and teach TDD, and although I could do it, I found that actually my consultants that have been out of university for the last 2 or 3 years who, you know, are doing this day in, day out, and, you know, it's fairly recent learning for them, are actually better at teaching things like that than I am these days. So I think there's definitely some truth to that. And I think the way I think about it is like a kind of like a pyramid, like you're going to have lots and lots of, you know, young, fairly junior people. And then they're going to grow up to like more and more senior roles. And it does help for those people in, say, like a senior couple, like 5 years down the line, to be coaching people who are sort of 3 years down the line. And then someone who's like 10 and plus years down the line is maybe coaching somebody who's 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, it's the pattern of one step removed.
Right.
You learn the best from someone that knows a little bit more than you, but not a ridiculous amount more than you. You teach best when it's something that you've done recently, but not like if you've done it a long time ago, you're going to have trouble with it. Like I noticed the same thing where the people that are fresh out of university or have learned best from the people that have been doing it for 2 years. And they seem to learn very quickly as a result of that. The other aspect is availability of time. If you're a tech principal on a project or a tech lead on a project, you are distracted a lot. And that makes you not the best person to do hands-on coding for someone who is just out of university. I mean, there's too many distractions. You're just constantly like pulled away for half a day for meetings, and that's not what you need when you are just figuring out how the test suite works and trying to do something you've never really done before.
So how much is growing technologies helping them to grow other people then?
What do you mean? Sorry.
So if it, talking about the seniors you have, mm-hmm. how much do you encourage them to teach the consultants, grads on their team?
I encourage them a lot because I basically tell them it's a big part of their job. Because you'll get some senior consultants who are like, what do I need to do to be the tech lead? You know, what are some of the things that I need to do to get there? And I'm like, well, as well as upping your own skills, you need to be able to coach those around you and bring up the other developers in the team. So, you know, you're never going to be made the tech lead of the team unless you've demonstrated that you're also bringing up the next generation. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it's an absolute prerequisite. And that's not the only thing, though. So that's one aspect of it. And some people are going to be really strong at that. And those are the people that you want to, you're going to have a cluster of people around them trying to learn from them constantly because they're just really good at it. And other people are going to be more of facilitation stuff. And they're going to be the ones sort of orchestrating stuff in the team space and making sure that certain meetings happen and that things go together and doing a lot more of the facilitation. People will tend to have both of those skills, and it's a balance of how much of either one do you have. And so different people will be better at different parts, and you kind of want to take advantage of that.
I think there's something in that about there being different types of technical leaders. So you'll get people that are really, really strong technologists. Maybe it's in a particular field or tech stack. And then you'll get people that are really good technical leaders. So they're really good at developing other people and setting direction and setting more of the strategic direction of the project. And you actually need both types of technical leaders on a team.
Yeah. And then on top of that, different teams have different needs. I mean, sometimes a project is a really tough technical problem. It's all about figuring out how to get something to scale that is impossible currently. And you have to figure out something completely revolutionary to do that. And in that situation, it is all about the biggest technical, the biggest horsepower, strongest technical people. And you've got other projects where it's about figuring out how to change an organization. It's about transforming them to figure out how that they can have continuous improvements in the way that they build stuff. And in that situation, it's a lot more important to have the soft skills. You end up spending a lot more time strategizing on how do you convince people that pairing is a good idea, how to make sure that you've got a decent response to your test suite, understanding what reasonable limits are, and when you're pushing so hard on something that's important, but the person shut down, and knowing how to back off so that you can get that right amount of pressure so that they are still listening to you and will move in the right direction, even if it's not where they ultimately need to be in the end.
Let's switch topics a little bit. At the beginning, you said, Rachel, oftentimes people have certain goals and it's your job to enable it. Have you ever came across someone where you said, okay, your goals totally don't align with what you're actually should focusing on?
I'm not sure that I actually have that have been so far off. Usually, I feel like people know themselves often well enough to know like what they're good at and what they struggle with. I mean, my experience, I haven't had many people that have been completely shocked by the feedback of like, this is something that you potentially need to work on and this is where your strengths lie. I don't know if you've had that different experience.
Well, so I'm thinking of a particular situation where we've got people that are relatively new hires to ThoughtWorks, and they are really excited about a particular kind of technology. That technology, unfortunately, has no relevance to the project that they're staffed on. And like, that's a tough problem to deal with because this person clearly wants to grow in an area, and the only opportunities they're going to have for doing it are on their spare time, evenings and weekends, side projects kind of stuff. That's a tough message to deliver to someone because, I mean, we have commercial needs. In order to be successful in our projects, we need to deliver what our client actually needs, not what we wish they needed. And so sometimes you just have to say, look, that's great. I can help you find resources in it, but that's not going to be your regular day-to-day job. It's going to be something you have to do for a hobby.
Isn't the hobby kind of an inevitable part of becoming a good technologist? So, because like in your job, you never grow very diverse by definition.
Yeah. And there is an expectation that you do extra stuff on the side and you're constantly figuring out how to advance yourself. And so one of the things that I talk about with consultants is projects are busy. There's lots of stuff. You will periodically get demands to go above and beyond. I try and figure out how to make it so the times when people have to go above and beyond, they get something personally out of it. So if I'm going to push someone and say, you've got to really deliver on this and it's really important, I'm going to try and figure out how I can make it so that the thing that they're working on is something that they personally value and that is something that's going to be useful for them on their resume going forward. And
can you make an example of that? Because that sounds interesting, but mm-hmm. I would like it to be more plastic.
Well, so if we're going to spend time on something and it is important to the project, typically the important things are like, it's important for a reason. There's some challenge behind it. It's hard. Those hard things also tend to be the areas where people can grow. Just doing the same old boring thing, you don't tend to learn that very much from that. It's when you try and do new things. It's when you try different technologies. It's when you use different techniques. It's when you realize that something that you were doing wasn't working and you have to back up and try something completely different. Those are the things where you really grow from it. So I try and make sure that those things as best as possible are the areas where people are pushed on, because that's actually where they're gaining personal benefit from it.
So what do you do when someone struggles to find technical goals?
Depends on the person. Sometimes they're really stronger in other areas. Like they're going to be an okay technologist, but they're going to be amazing at figuring out how to make teams work well together. That person is still very valuable to ThoughtWorks. That's the kind of person that you use as a glue in your team. So you figure out how to, it's about minimum, looking at the minimums and maximums with things. You try and eliminate things that would cause them to be a liability to the team. And you try and maximize the things that, they're really good at. So, if they're an okay technologist, but it's not really a problem, maybe that you just let that be. They're always just going to be an average, delivery person, but focus on their ability to lead the teams and keep the team moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think there's a valuable point in that and focusing on people's strengths. I think a lot of time people try and focus on the weaknesses and try and fill the gaps there, but really it's better to focus on people's strengths because that's where they can really excel. And so it's really about balance and having the right types of people in the team for the type of project you need. And that comes down to like how we staff the project in the first place to make sure that if we need really strong technologists, then we have some of those. But we also do need people that glue the teams together and people that can lead and people that can facilitate. Especially on a big project, you need all these different skill sets, and focusing on people's strengths both fills them with confidence to keep moving forward and helps them excel.
How do you choose when to talk to people about their personal journey? Do you make up your mind in the evening, or is it you talk to everyone in a one-on-one regularly?
I try and talk to everyone in the team one-on-one on a regular basis, definitely at the start of the project or when they roll on, to understand, you know, what they've done previously, what they're excited about, their kind of goals, just generally their career goals, if they've already started to think about things like that. And then I'll try and touch base with them at least once a month. It really depends on how big the team is and how busy you are and all these different aspects, but I try and catch up with them regularly. to see how they're doing, and especially to the points that Jeff was making, like if it is they really want to learn one technology stack but they're actually doing something else, is like checking in how they're doing with that and what they're putting their effort into and how happy they are with what they're doing right now, and is there opportunity for them to learn interesting things with the project that they're on at the time.
I also think that the regular check-ins are really important for this. If for no other reason, then that's the perfect opportunity to address framing, which is in terms of each project has good things and bad things about it. And the perspective that you see that project from makes a huge difference as to your personal quality of life. I've had people on projects where they're working on something and they're miserable about it. You have a discussion about why they're miserable about it and talk about what kind of value they are providing and what areas they can grow and work on. That sense of reframing it in their head as to what the problem is that they're actually addressing can frequently do a lot in terms of making them happy about what they're doing and focusing their efforts so that they feel like they're actually getting more out of what they're doing. It shouldn't just be a job that's drudgery. They should really enjoy what they're doing, and we should help figure out ways to make them focus on the things that they gain value out of and ThoughtWorks gains value at the same time.
Do you have certain strategies for enabling growth and learning in project, like pairing people in a specific way, doing formal sessions over lunch or brown bags?
Yeah, all of those techniques. Well, apart from having the one-to-ones with the people that I'm sort of training into the more tech leadership positions, I make it very visible what I'm doing, who I'm having conversations with, what those conversations are and what the outcomes are, and then where they can, you know, take on some of those roles, whether it be, you know, give a presentation on this rather than me doing it, and putting them in a situation where they have to have these like higher level conversations with people, but then being there to support them at the time. There's also like for the general development teams, I encourage those senior developers to set up sessions with the other developers on whatever it may be. So we recently had like ops sessions on our project because the team realized that although they were doing lots of DevOps work, there's some of the basics of just operations they just didn't know. And so they set up a little working group that they had once a week. So I try and make sure that these kinds of things are happening and kind of prod the right people to encourage that learning constantly on the project.
For me, it's about making space. It's about stepping back in areas where I know I could do a really good job at something, but if I step out of the way and let someone else do it instead, and I'm there as their support in case something doesn't go quite right, that gives them the opportunity to be successful and do stuff, and they've got someone to ask. That tends to give people a lot of opportunity to be able to succeed. So that's one aspect of it. The second aspect is making sure that you've got people to learn from and people to teach. So the idea is on a well-structured team, you've got a gradation of people of different skill levels and different interests so that almost everyone on the team is someone that they can be teaching to and someone that they can be learning from. And that gives you the ability to constantly be both a teacher and a learner. And it seems to work really well for people. Even the people that are newest to the team, they bring in specific things that they know that no one else knows. And so even the youngest person on the team is still a teacher.
Okay. We really do have to go now.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank-